Okay, go.
So, today is Sunday, December 6th, 2015, the Operation Mutual Defense Advisory Board meeting. I want to, after I'm done here, put a motion, especially being that we don't have a couple members of the board sitting here, that we allow me to make my opening remarks, and then any issues you guys feel that we need to address immediately, and we can just kind of put the agenda to the side for the moment. But now I'm speaking to two of you gentlemen, and both of which I have a high regard for, and one of which, well, at times both of you have been a mentor to me, obviously. Gary, you've put a lot more effort into, I know what you view as molding me into what you believe would be the most effective personality in my position. And Dennis, I appreciate the trust that you've put into this entity and its possibility for effect. I don't believe that the focus of this entity, given our developing situation, can be permitted to be as narrow as we have formed it to be. I believe at this point now that we've been attacked numerous times preemptively. We've now been attacked openly and disgustingly. And if you've been paying attention to the news, the deal in San Bernardino has put a veil over many of the other things that are going on along the same line of domestic terrorism all over the country. There's been four or five different things that have happened since the events there in San Bernardino. And also the information that's coming out from the FBI and different entities alluding to operations on a grander scale. And what I'm getting at here is that it would definitely appear that the game is afoot now. And I'm going to say personally, and I know that others have felt this for a long time, but we are in a state of war, and we are in a state of nature. We're in a state of war given that the enemies are clearly defined, and that they have taken action against us at this point, against the people. One of those enemies has been taking action against the people for quite a period of time, and that enemy was birthed by the people and has molded its purpose into something that the people who established this union knew that it could form into, and gave us provision to protect against should it become that. I believe this is the most poignant of the two entities having taken action against the people. The other one is obviously radical Islam. And in order to combat this threat requires quite a different approach than the other one. And that approach, I think, is going to have to be much more local and small unit focused, but information is going to be the key, and sharing of information with those small units who do take it upon themselves to move. against that enemy. The bigger problem is that the other enemy, the first one I mentioned, is the root of all of the problems. It's the root of all the problems within our own borders, and it's the root of many problems throughout the world. And the longer that we allow this problem to persist and this enemy to grow in strength and power and exert its influence over the people in the Union and without, then the greater our fault in allowing it to do so. And there's no easy way to go about this. But the core of what I'm driving at here is that in a state of war, a body such as this, which is reactive and which focuses on specific events as opposed to a broad spectrum of actions, has to necessarily morph itself to meet the demands of the changing scenario. And so I'm asking that each of us and even those who are going to listen to this later begin to call upon their relationships, call upon their contacts, those with the knowledge of how to proceed in light of what it is that's being laid out, with strategic knowledge and planning ability to address all these issues on a greater spectrum, and to bring that down to a more narrow topic that it really needs to start at the grass level, at the grassroots level, that level from which everything grows, which is the individual and the individual's community. We can't expect people from all over the Union to, when there's so much danger at home, difficulty at home, direct threats right in their own backyard, to be willing to pick up and travel across the country, across the Union, in order to answer the threats that are affecting the individual, and those that do have felt a particular calling, and they'll answer it regardless. But what we need to focus on is fortifying the individual communities so that people can become aware of how they can begin to take action in their own yard and correct these problems and defend themselves. So what I'm asking for is that we begin the process of creating a body of people that are knowledgeable in how to proceed. And without getting into too much detail, I think you know exactly what it is that I'm talking about. So I know that what I'm pursuing up here in Oregon is a microcosm of the greater issue, but it is a pretty poignant mark, and I don't just mean the Hammonds themselves, I mean the intrusion of the federal government into every aspect of these people's lives. And I'm going to use it, this microcosm, to illuminate the greater picture. This county was once very prosperous. It was a booming community and a booming landmass in its entirety. It had two great industries, logging and ranching, which promulgated its boom. There used to be 60,000 head of cattle running this in this valley here, and now I've heard numbers of between 20 to 25,000. I've even heard 15,000. And there is virtually no logging that is done in this county whatsoever anymore. Both of these things, the decimation of both of these industries and thus the former economy of this county, are caused by federal regulation, federal intrusion, and federal insertion of themselves into both of those industries. Now, to further this in this invasion from an outside entity, they have also there's been an importation of entitlement folks in here. And once those other two industries were virtually destroyed, one of them almost to very little impact economically in the county, and the other one in its entirety destroyed completely, there became obviously an exodus from this area to others in order to seek what we can see is in line with Agenda 21 and such. The idea is to drive people out of the rural areas and into the larger population centers where they can be more easily controlled. And in replacement of those productive and industrious folks, there's been almost an importation of the entitlement folks, and there's a very clear delineation in this county between the two, and an animosity growing between the two. This is the case all over, in every state, in almost every rural area. Industry is being destroyed, and people who feed off of the system are being imported. And so now, if you subtract the very wealthy ranchers who offset the income ratio drastically, if you take those very wealthy ranchers out of the picture and you were to look at the economy of Harney County, it is mostly influenced by outside entities. The money is being imported from all over the country through taxes and such, and redistribution of wealth through these entitlement entities and through government jobs. For instance, all of the loggers, a vast majority of the loggers who used to work in that industry are now BLM firefighters and government workers. A lot of the ranchers have become refuge employees on the National Wildlife Refuge here, which is the second or third largest in the entire union. And so effectively they have created a rift where the people are now turned against each other. In the interest of securing their own sustenance, these people have had to sought jobs, and purposely the federal government has inserted themselves to give those jobs to people, to create work. And as we know, the work is the work of oppression and tyranny. The idea is to drive the people off of the land, and they're using the people within the locale themselves in order to accomplish this, which turns brother against brother. Down even narrowing the spectrum of this microcosm, the Hemmons issue itself. In my research here over the past few days, I find about 50% of who I talk to be in utter and complete support of the Hemmons. Most people don't know that they've been convicted under an anti-terrorism act. Nobody considers them to be terrorists. Even those who aren't in support of them don't consider them to be terrorists. Everyone I've talked to has a high regard for the Hannons. I've only spoken to one person who was a girl, and her best friend was one of the BLM firefighters who's quoted in the indictment as having been in between Stephen Hammond's back burn and the lightning strike fire, and she said she has a distaste for the Hammonds only specifically because of that, because she believes that they endangered the life of her friend. What I didn't tell her, we didn't have the time, was that that issue was dropped out of the, and they were not convicted for it specifically because the prosecution came forth and showed evidence that said that his life was never in danger in the first place, and the Hammonds had absolutely no knowledge that there was anybody on that range when they set that fire. And I'm certain that if she had known about this, that her mind would be changed. She would understand that her initial gut feeling about these people, she did say she had a high regard for them, that was the only issue, her initial gut feeling would be changed. So the other 50% of the people, of the population here, is either government workers who won't talk to you and have been specifically instructed not to speak with us. Government employees, or apathetic people, the people that they don't give a damn one way or the other. And quite honestly, with the entitlement folks that have been ushered in here and taken advantage of here as industry went away, it's easy to see that a lot of that 50% is going to be people who are never going to be involved in anything whatsoever anyway, except for feeding off of the system. What I'm getting at is, as those other 50% who are apathetic or employed by the entity which is causing the destruction in this county, if they were to see their brethren on the other half start to stand up and voice their opinions, and not only voice their opinions, but make their actions to regain control of their county known, I'm of the firm belief that 50% would turn into a much lower number and be grafted into those in support of returning sovereignty to this place. And this microcosm demonstrates what exists all over the Union. And I know the numbers are probably different in a lot of other places. But the key is that if we don't start to free these people from the hand of oppression on a larger scale, focusing on individual liberty and fostering unity around that idea, if we don't begin to address these issues on a larger scope, then the ability of our two enemies to capitalize on our lack of unity is going to overshadow any effort that we take in the future, given our responsive nature.
Ready for a response?
Say that again?
Are you ready for a response?
Pertaining specifically to what?
To what you've spoken to.
Well, I'm ready. I'm ready to begin the process.
Well, we'll talk about process second, but let's talk about something else first. That there are problems all over the country. You're aware of one. You're focused on it. In fact, you're, I'm going to say, nearly obsessed with it. There are other issues around the country where somebody would be willing to stand with the people that stand with them. And unfortunately, that element's missing. We've discussed it. When you were down here, we discussed extensively, and I explained the two situations back in the 90s where the person wasn't behind what we were doing. And I think, you know, the board is nearly unanimous on we don't want to help, we don't feel it's right to help somebody that doesn't want to help. We could create more problems. Suppose guns fire and shoot out there and one of the hammers got killed by a random bullet. You know, we would be fully responsible in that case because they weren't willing to make the stand. That aside, though, as far as building, getting the community effort and all this together, when you were here, we were working and we were over halfway through putting together the PowerPoint presentation that would build that, would get the unity, would get people organized, and first the places visited, and second it would carry over to other communities around them and could spread like wildfire. As far as creating a foundation that was fully functional in terms of responding to something like the Hammond Ranch or anything else, the committees of safety and the plan, you know, that is the means of getting it back. A single fire, that even if you put the fire out, what effect is it going to have? The government's going to still take ranchers' lands or try and take ranchers' lands, and when a rancher's ready to stand against it, we'll stand with him. But committees of safety is really instrumental when the people realize, and the key element of the committee of safety is when people realize that they are in a state of nature and they have become their own government. And they've shed off the shroud of encroaching federal administrative agencies. But until the people feel that they've got the ability, you know, in a self-governed country to govern themselves, you're fighting an uphill battle. So what is more important? Is it more important to get that road trip out and going, or is it more important to fight a fire where they don't want you to fight the fire for them? So, you know, when we look at priorities, you can't fight a war until you build an army. The effort to the road trip is to build an army. Once that army is built, then you can fight a war. So that's my response to what you've said. I agree wholeheartedly. I saw the footage on the fire, and BLM's doing exactly. They're terrorists. They burned down a house. They killed private property. They're the terrorists in this. But, you know, that's good public relations, but it's not a good battle to fight with firefight.
Well, let me maybe I can narrow down where I'm going with this and where I think that efforts should be placed. I'm no general, and I'm not a colonel, and I'm not in the capacity that I'm serving now. I'm barely a sergeant. Okay. And when things start to ramp up, maybe you could attribute maybe a captain status to the function that I can perform. But I don't have the experience nor the persona to be a general. I can't build an army. What I can do, and what I do, and what I am doing, is I can get on the ground and I can speak in a manner directly to people's faces, and I've watched it happen right here in front of me. Speak directly to them in a manner which gives them hope that has been crushed. And that hope comes with the knowledge that enough people will come and support them if they decide to make that stand themselves also. But the idea is to rally the community. And what I mean by saying I'm no general is perhaps I don't have the scope of knowledge or the ability to, I can conjecture all day about this avenue or that avenue on the greater scope. And I agree that the plan, the committees of safety and getting that knowledge out there is important. But I've already started that process here in talking to these people about forming another body and putting together town hall meetings. I mean, we have a pretty comprehensive course of action already being pursued. And
when that committee of safety asked OMD to back them in their position, you've got me 100% at that point because we have been invited.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you got the county and you state. Either one of them could call it. The Hammers won't. So you got the county and you got the state. If either one of them gets to a position where they want to resist the federal government and what they're doing to the Hammonds, then we go to help the county or the state. But we can't go help the Hammonds because they don't want us. It is very simple. I think last meeting I said the same thing. If you can get the county and the state to go for it, or the state to go for it, and issue the call, then that gives a legitimacy. At Concord, they sent riders out. At Lexington, they sent riders out asking for help. When they got the help.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm basing my perception of this whole thing on history, as you know.
Well, I think that's my point. My utility, especially in that I've chosen to take up this specific fight, I'm very well aware of what's going on in other places, and although 90% of my time is going into my tasks here, I am spending the other 10% of that time coordinating with the people all over about the other issues. And there's been a lot of discussion, there's a lot of unity coming together. And the unfortunate part of that is that the unity is building around the individuals and not their entities, because they have the same issues that we have here. The organizations are protecting themselves, and it's the individuals who are stepping out and pursuing what they believe needs to be done. Given my focus, what you've called an obsession on this particular case, because having removed myself from the duty as an OMD response coordinator and made myself essentially a free man's response coordinator in this, that task is very encompassing and requires all of my efforts. So what I'm getting at is I'm not a general. I don't sit back in a chair and talk to advisors and all these folks about what's going on here and there and make decisions based on that. I delve myself directly into the issue and I focus on it and I try to get a grasp on it, and I try to rally people around it, that specific issue. I can speak to the greater spectrum of things, but I'm not sure what my utility is in them. Other than after this is wrapped up, my intention is that I have to get back and get some money back made so that I can get back on the road and start to pursue this, you know, dissemination of the plan. But at this point, this is what's going on with myself, and a lot of other people are already on alert to respond when it's necessary. And that's what I'm asking you guys for. Dennis, you know, I know, given your former occupation, you have to know the people that can help in these efforts, and whether or not they believe in the people side of it, or they believe in the legitimacy of the government to handle such things, at least the time is now to start having those conversations about how to go about it. And we all have a range of people that we can talk to about bringing together and unifying a strategy. And those efforts are taking place right here. One thing that the Bundy Ranch taught me was that an event like that brings together the leaders. The leaders are the ones who show up. The leaders are the ones who put their face in there, or who are involved throughout the process from afar.
There were leaders in the Boston Massacre, too. Don't forget that.
Sure. I'm not sure the purpose of your reference.
Now that I've got the coordinates and looking at that, you don't even have cover out there. That's going to be hard to develop a plan to do that, not having access to the ranch.
On the contrary, the ranch is the worst place to mount that defense, and looking on the ground and driving through it and walking on the ground, I have not seen a more defensible location against anything but the air. A more defensible location doesn't exist.
Then what?
There's pinch points, there's high ground with long, very good line of sight. Okoka, it gives all of the advantage to the defender on that ground.
Now, how are you going to defend if the Hammonds get in a truck and drive to the prison?
You don't. You don't. But there's one thing that we have enough assurance of to feel very comfortable in that scenario right there, and that is that the family, I'm going to give it a 95% assurance that the family will not come out against any efforts to assist their cause, their support, and I have a very good feeling that if they saw the support and they started to feel the support from their community, that they would begin, that they would be fortified to join the stand themselves.
Well, that... not very strong. You're thinking that they might join in. Is not very strong to hinge so much on. You know, I know you can't talk about plans on the phone, but still it comes back to, unless somebody asks OMD that has an interest in it, not Eamon Bundy, not Ryan Payne, but the Hammonds, the county, or the state, I still see no way. I mean, there are plenty of events. One that may be coming up is Red River, you know, but that's apparently back in court. And I think they'll lose on that. Hammonds right now, a public relations campaign would be great for them because of the fire footage from, I guess it was last year, when the BLM burned a house down and killed the livestock. But you know, without an invitation, let's go back to Bundy Ranch. What happened when the shared command came into play? Things sorted out. The conflicts disappeared, some of the conflicts. The idea of OMD now with the board is the same thing. Now, that doesn't keep you from acting as a freeman doing what you're doing. But as far as OMD, the board is the heart of this thing. And the brain of this thing, and it's got to be at least a majority. It'd be better if it was unanimous. Now, if four people voted to go with you, I would vote with you and make it unanimous because I like the idea of unanimity, and I will be swayed by the majority. But we're not there. Now, like I told you, I'll cover the story as long as I've provided information, but I can't give the background, and I'm in the same place, and we've got time now, and I still can't get the background on this. But I think, did I go over the law with you the other day and tell you where there were some serious mistakes as far as property, as far as, the whole idea that it was Anti-Terrorism Act, it was to avoid attacks against the government, and what they're doing is in no way an attack against the government. You know, the law was enacted under terrorism, and it should not be applied unless the elements are met that indicate that it was a terroristic effort to destroy property of the United States. But that misinterpretation of law, look at, you know, Massey, look at Beecher, look at Wolf. These things happen, and they've got to stop. But if we're going to stop them, we've got to have the best situation we can, which is that we are going to help somebody that's asked for our help. I don't think that we can ask for any more than that.
Brian.
Yes, sir.
What do you need right now? Not just from OMD, but what do you need from me?
In other words, what
can I do to help, regardless of whichever way this motion goes?
What I'm specifically asking for is not anything for me, Dennis. What I'm asking for is for the cause itself, is for the idea itself. You know, I think I outlined a few minutes ago that it's a difficult position, and it's quite honestly, it'll be putting yourself into a dangerous position. I understand that, given your former affiliation and level of involvement with that entity. I understand that it's dangerous, but unless we start putting ourselves out way outside of our comfort zone in starting to rally the correct individuals to bring their weight to bear on the entire situation, not just this one, then I don't think that we're putting our true faith in the cause that we say that we believe in. And so what it is that I'm specifically asking for is to go, you know, begin to go outside and seek unity from the people that you know that can bring the effect into what needs to be accomplished.
Well, that being accomplished, it's a fairly lengthy process, as I'm sure you're learning out there. And it has a lot to do with the recent events out on your coast, not your particular event, but the other ones and some other things that are happening.
Right.
So that's occurring, and I'm not going to say it's happening fast, but it seems to be happening with some due speed and with a renewed sense of urgency, at least from what I've seen. I've had probably, 8 meetings in the last 3 days, something like that, on various things. I guess I'm coming a little bit more to your example out there. In your particular, I don't know if I would call it obsession, but that seems to be the word that's been thrown around in the call. But your calling at this point, I think, would be better. Is
yes.
there something I can assist you with in your current calling?
At this point, because of the way in which the course of action that we've is tentative, but it's already being acted upon, is being pursued. It is multifaceted and it has different levels. And so the level on the outside, and I'm going to classify those levels to particular involvement right here on the ground, and then outside of that, which is the greater, the country as a whole. And so the outside effort at this point needs to be focused on awareness. Now, I've developed some relationships that are, I'm not willing to bring the OMD to the table at this point. I'm going to keep them where they belong right now, where they've been focused on. Those entities have the ability to bring a widespread knowledge to even the people who don't give a crap about this particular event. And so that's being developed between today and over the next couple of days, and you won't have a choice but to see it when it starts happening. And so whatever that you can do to assist in that, in bringing truth, and particularly from your knowledge or your vantage point, Dennis, you know, framing that in such a way as, and then inserting your knowledge of how to proceed about things or what you think the correct ideas are on correcting the issue, rallying support based on your knowledge and inserting ideas on courses of action and such, which are really going to accomplish things, which require activity and require personal involvement, not computer involvement, as most people are willing to put forth some of that. But I think that's where the effort really needs to be focused from the outside at this point. And then as far as anything else, obviously information is key. And we've got a few lawyers working on things with us, addressing exactly what you talked about, Gary, and a few other things. There's a lot here in this particular case. And so another thing to look at, Dennis, and as just a I'm going to call it a practice. What is it? I don't want to call it training. I don't want to call it like JRTC. What do you call those? It's a real world planning scenario.
Okay.
The feasibility of and therein the manpower requirements and the. And the logistical requirements for replacing let's use this county as an example for this exercise. There you go, a real-world exercise. We're going to do an exercise. A real-world exercise for replacing that entity of that is the problem here with the people of Harney County and supplemented by those that will come to support them. And by that I mean all of them, all of those entities.
You said two things during the course of that, bringing the truth to the matter and information is key.
Right.
So why am I being denied that information?
What information are you talking about?
Well, I've asked from the beginning, the allotment. I think you were going to send me the two trials,
mm-hmm.
and I received nothing. You know, I can't write a story until I know what there is to write. I'm not going to just take what Ammon says because I don't agree with all of it. I agree with most of it, but I'd like to substantiate it. That's the way I write. I won't write if I don't have access to the information. So it requires cooperation on somebody. So how is bringing the truth to the matter a denial of getting that information out? How is information is key, instrumental in this, when that information is, locked in somebody's briefcase?
Well, the information has already been put out, and that's kind of...
No, it hasn't.
You know,
no, what's been put out is Ammon's words. And you know,
so
I don't write what other people say. I write what I, you saw my office, and, you know, I have files 2 inches thick on Massey and on Wolf and people like that. It's having that information and knowing what I'm writing about, not taking somebody else's word. Or like I told you about Joyce Riley when she said the corporate United States, when Randy Mack wanted to have her on the radio show, and I asked her if she had ever read the Act of 1871. Well, I've read parts of it. Do you have a copy of the entire Act? Have you read it? Well, no, I don't have a copy. And then she admitted she takes what other people write, and then she puts it in her own words, and she calls herself a researcher. That's not a researcher. I'm a researcher. I research. Santilli, after the Kessler investigation, said, I'll never call myself a... investigative reporter again, because he saw what I put into it. I can't put anything into this because I don't have access to the information, and I can't make a rational judgment. All we have is mm-hmm. a good thing, and I found it erroneous as far as the location of the ranch.
Yes.
So, how can we bring truth when we don't know what the truth is? And information is key. Where's the information? I mean, you just in your last round, you mentioned both of those.
Yep, and the information is being passed along you know, and it hasn't been passed along to you for a variety of reasons.
Well, I don't doubt that.
And so, you know, the truth is being put out there, and it's going to be put out a lot more forcefully and completely to come.
Well, since I'm denied that information, I'd just soon not talk about the Hammond Ranch anymore, quite frankly. I mean, I have no interest in it if I can't get that information. And as you said, there are a number of reasons that I'm not getting the information. I don't know what they might be. Maybe a fear of the truth.
Yeah. So, yeah, did I give enough information to illuminate what it is that I'm talking about, Dennis, with what I said?
I think so, but I think one of the points that Gary made, which is truly, unfortunately, resonating here amongst a lot of folks, is the information that the Hammonds aren't choosing to stand. And I know the counterarguments. The only thing I'm suggesting to you that it's horribly bad press, for lack of anything better to say, that they came out that way. Because I've got a lot of people that don't even want to talk about that. They just want to move strictly to the Islamic problem.
And I think that, we can talk about conspiracies, but I believe that as the people that are of like mind with me, that are ready, that things need to begin, action needs to start moving, I see the beginning of that as a purposeful insertion in order to try to divert us.
And I won't disagree with that at all, because the timing is, as always, very convenient to overshadow other things. But I just wanted to point out to you that is truly a restraining issue right now in discussing it and trying to rally support on your first aspect. Because
yep.
The second just seems such a knee-jerk and right in their wheelhouse type thing. And again, that was pretty much a lot of the conversations to try to even get them to consider something else at this point is unfortunately difficult. It's almost like, you know, somebody's dangling a bright, shiny little object, and they're all wanting to grab it.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, that's
I offer that
behind
just as a perspective from somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's kind of the key why I tried to make the point that one of the things, as far as the information campaign goes, you know, the media part of all of this is to refocus everybody that, yes, we do have to address the direct threat that the radicals pose, but to make sure that we keep our focus on where those enemies are gaining their strength and their facilitation for them to even be where they are to do what they're doing. And that is really who the enemy is. The others are just agents of the enemy.
Yeah.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and you indicated that we might get some more information presented here in the near term, the next few days. It might make it easier to help these people focus. Is that what I heard?
It's going to be it's an escalation, if you will, and it's also going to be regionally targeted and motivationally targeted based on the, so for instance, on a larger spectrum, the particular issue may not be addressed in detail, but for those who are particularly interested in this thing here,
mm-hmm.
then it's going to be targeted towards those folks. A different set of information will be targeted towards those folks. So, yeah, that'll begin, but it's going to culminate over the next month. And also, the discussion is much broader, not just particularly addressing the Hammonds, or I'm going to call it now the Harnan County issue, because it has graduated in its focus. But we're beginning to develop a a plan for owning the narrative on the entire battle, if you will, the entire the grander spectrum of things.
And generally, would we expect most of that to be of a PR nature, or will it be some more on the ground sorts of things?
Both. It's going out to all avenues. It'll be inserted into the mainstream, but not necessarily through, you know, it's just going to be inserted there. Mostly the mainstream's going to have to grab it from all of the other avenues that it's seen. It's going to be going through advertisements, all over different venues on the internet, social media, all of the venues there, and then targeted articles.
But primarily,
so what we want to do is
over the next month.
That, yeah, exactly.
I want to try to make sure I'm understanding.
That's one of the avenues, obviously. So that's being addressed. And the what we want to do is we want to jump ahead of their efforts to steer the narrative, and we want to make sure that we get it out correctly. And then if they want to grab onto it, if they want the information, they're going to have to grab our narrative. They're either going to have to take the facts and twist them themselves, which is very easily crushed, or they're going to have to take our narrative and contort it if they want to mess with it. But at any rate, the truth will be out, and it'll be up to the mainstream to try to destroy it at that point instead of heading us off.
Well, some of those truths are gloves, unfortunately. I put truths in quotes.
From your perspective, I understand your statement. Yes.
Okay. And obviously, the deadline, is, as I understand it, is still for January?
Correct. Our goal is to have the rally of public support here reach its apex at least a week before the 4th.
I got a name for your operation. Operation Matchstick. Just a thought.
Okay. I guess I don't understand the reference. But.
Well, it has to do with fires, and you've got fires set by BLM, and you got fires set, productive fires set by Hammonds, and destructive fires set by BLM. So Operation Matchstick seems to be an appropriate title to it. Brings to focus the issue, which is fires. And the government can do what they want, and they can throw people in prison for protecting their property.
Yeah, and quite honestly, we need to light a fire underneath the people in order to make this work. So, yeah.
That might be a catchy name for it. That's why I suggested it. You know, if I were writing about it, I would probably call it that. But, you know, I can't write about it.
Right.
Well, and of course, you have a little difficulty there because the time frame that you're suggesting is right in the middle, of course, of the either the Christian holiday or the shopping spree from hell, whichever you prefer to refer to it as.
I saw a great meme yesterday. It was Rich Kent put it out, and I'm not sure if he made it. He does make some pretty good ones, but it showed the painting of Washington crossing the Delaware in the boat with all the troops there. And correct me if I'm wrong. He crossed with something like 10,000 guys crossed the Delaware that night, didn't they, Gary?
A lot of them. I don't recall the numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it was something like 10,000. And what the meme said was, Americans, we will cross a frozen river in the middle of the night on Christmas Day in order to kill you. So, you know, that type of spirit, the spirit of 76, quite honestly, is what needs to be fostered. If that matchstick represents something, it means that, you know, myself, I'm only one little match sitting here in a whole entire box of matchsticks, sitting on a pile of hay. And if I can get myself lit up enough, then I can get the other matchsticks lit, which are the other folks who will take that fire and set fire to the pot to the haystack. And that's really what has to happen, and that spirit needs to be rekindled.
Okay. Well,
did we lose Dennis?
Nope, I'm there. I was actually, what you heard was smoke as my, I was actually trying to think about something. It's harder as you get older.
Came from?
Yep, that's what I'm saying, and matchstick and everything, so I might as well play along with the pun there. But, okay, so obviously, just to throw it out there, plan A is, you know, rallying the local population, and hopefully something happens a week or so prior to the deadline, and being able to build upon it.
Yeah, well, we're putting together two different things. There's a public meeting that's being put together that's part of what I'm doing here is finding the people in the community that are already care about the issue. And then we have a flyer campaign going on here very shortly, which is going to get it out to the greater populace, get that public meeting for awareness, and then get them to flood a county board meeting. So that the county board can pass a resolution first to call forth an evidentiary review of the entire case, and then a second resolution to require that the sheriff provide a sanctuary for the Hammonds while that evidentiary review is taking place. And if the sheriff will not uphold that requirement by the people, that the people perform that giving that sanctuary themselves. And then the goal is to get the county board to pass that. Once again, the effort is also being started up that if the county board, no matter what's being pursued here is that we're going to illuminate the failures of government at every level by giving them ample opportunity to respond in the way that they should, but at the same time, planning for them not to uphold it and for the people to ultimately take up that task.
Okay.
That's the outline, kind of what we're doing.
And when is that meeting, do you think? The council?
We're shooting for the 21st.
To try to get them to put one on, because they probably don't have one scheduled, I'm betting, right, the council?
Right, and I've spoken to the council, or excuse me, the commissioners. Neither one is in support of doing such a thing, of those types of resolutions. Both of them basically have said we're hands off, the judicial process has taken place, and it doesn't really matter how we feel about it. They both agree, they're kind of on that 50% that somewhat supports the Hammonds and knows they're good people, but is apathetic at this point. And so that's why the movement of the people needs to be created in order to force them to show their cowardice or their uprightness.
And you have enough folk to do what you need to do right now in case things are accelerated on the timeline?
Yes.
Okay.
And there's plenty enough that are sitting out just waiting. So that are committed.
Okay. So bottom line is when I'm having conversations here, unless someone is truly motivated and wants to head that way, you're good as far as resources right now.
Yeah, unless they have a really good proximity, you know, if they're in Oregon, then they can be of use right now. But if they're not, then we don't want them to start, you know, wasting resources yet.
Yeah, because this thing could, like the bunny thing, maybe go for a while.
Yes.
So,
okay, but we have a pretty good plan.
Good.
that's part of the reason that I asked you for that exercise, if you will, that planning exercise to look at what I was talking about, because in the event of an extended operation, you can see how that'll be a key. Those resources that already exist can be taken advantage of, given the scenario I laid out for you.
Okay. So, the scenario would basically be taking over the entire county infrastructure for a period of time.
Not the county infrastructure, but one particular entity's infrastructure.
Okay. Yeah. Could be interesting. Okay, well, I'll put some thought on it. Yeah, okay. Well,
but there again, the reason it's an exercise is because it's going to rely on the people. Mm-hmm. And I know that we can put together the force to make it happen. The key is that you don't want to be sitting out there. You're going to be looking at Waco again or something like that if you're sitting out there in a compound and the people aren't in support of you.
Okay. I'm pretty much up to date, and I think at the beginning of this you said you were going to put a motion or resolution or something in front of the board.
Before I wrap that up, on the Muslim issue, the radical Islam issue, which is a Muslim issue, but anyway. If that course of action that I sent out there you think is pretty good, I think that's a good way to address the refugee situation. I've been asked numerous times over the past week for some info, for some plans on that or anything. So if we can get that passed and then disseminated, I think that's something that's desired out there. And then, possibly looking into smaller courses of action at the small unit level that can be pursued by local militia and individual groups, because a lot of those guys, they have the desire, they have the equipment, and they have the knowledge to make things happen, but unless they've been in special operations or at a planning level, then they have very little knowledge on how to put together a cohesive plan. So what we could do is develop a plan for the small unit level that can be disseminated out. And that way they have something to start moving towards. A lot of people are already moving, quite honestly.
Yeah, I just got an email from John that his truck was broken into. Apparently he got footage of the assholes. He's going to upload some pics soon. Want to know whether or not we can do a call on Wednesday, maybe.
Yeah, I would be interested in having another call on Wednesday, yeah.
Well, the reason I bring it up is you're the one that has kind of probably the worst time with connectivity and, when you'll be in, when you'll be out, that sort of thing. So, I can do it probably, I don't know, let's say 6 o'clock my time. That works for you guys?
Wednesday.
It'd be 3 o'clock.
It'd be 3 o'clock Pacific.
Yeah, so if we plan for something, I'll insert it into the schedule. At this point, I have pretty good service most of the places that I go in this county. It's just a matter of scheduling because I'm meeting with people and official and all that stuff. So.
Okay. Well, that's why I wanted to bring it and break in and just mention to you because, again, obviously, for this last one, if nothing else, we certainly want John's input.
I would like, and if we could move it later, that would be better.
How about as late as 7? Because our calls tend to go a while, and I got to get the wife tucked in and everything.
Sure.
Does that work?
Yeah, so that's 4 o'clock.
Yeah,
Jerry, yeah, I guess we can.
What's it going to be?
Hello?
How about 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time?
Good.
Does that work for you, Gary?
Yep. Do you want to send a notice out the list about the meeting?
Okay, so it'll be Wednesday, 7 Eastern Standard, and you'll set it up like normal?
Yeah, I'll set it up. I'll send an email out about 2 hours before the call, and then I'll have the call going when at 4 o'clock my time.
Okay, I'll add it to the one because it was Tim saying he couldn't make it, and then John coming on the same one that you initially started, Gary. Oh, actually, I'll tell you what, I'll build a new one, a fresh one, and just have it titled as a Wednesday's call.
Yeah, just all you need is a notice, special meeting Wednesday.
Right, 7 Eastern Standard. Okay, works for me.
Okay.
Well, I don't have anything else. How about you guys?
Nope, that's all I got.
Okay, so we'll plan on reconvening at Wednesday, 7 Eastern Standard, and see where we go from there then.
Okay.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.